Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Hello, and welcome back to the show. Hello, Dad. How you doing?
Hello, Tay. Doing good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. It's a nice day out here. Taxes paid. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
I'm relieved.
Well, that's better than tax day coming and going and they're not paid.
Yeah, I don't know what happens then. I haven't tried that game yet, but
it's called Go Directly to Jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
It's been a while since I've collected 200. But it's...
Yeah, and we started off with a cold morning, but if spring finally sprung, it hit about 70 degrees and it's supposed to be going up to 80 for the next couple of days.
Nice.
So that's good. So Charlie and Cooper have been on me. Get the pool clean, Pop. Get the pool clean.
You got to get that pool clean so you can have some boat drinks in your pool.
Oh, that's true. I like having boat drinks in the pool. And I know a lot more about them this summer than I did last summer.
Well, and you're about to learn about another one, sort of. Yeah, I'd call it that.
They got another boat drink blowing in, you might say.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. So as we mentioned, we're kind of, I don't know where we're going to get to at the end of this episode to see if we can find a new topic, but for the past couple of weeks, we've been getting our following week's topic from something that Dad is unfamiliar with in the previous episode, which has been great. So this week last week we talked about the Vucare, which is famously from New Orleans. So this week that led to another classic New Orleans cocktail, the Hurricane.
All right. Now I've had a Hurricane before. I've had several Hurricanes before. I just don't really know what was in them. You know, somebody just hands one to you and says, you're in New Orleans, you got to drink a Hurricane. So I say, okay, I'll drink one.
Well, this is fun since I mean, I'm sure you now know what's in it because we've both done research, but your memories of a hurricane, what do you remember them tasting like? If you had to guess what was in them?
Fruit juice and rum was about as close as I could come, but I wouldn't be able to
That's
identify what. I would not have guessed. Right. I would not have guessed two kinds of rum.
Well, that's true. Well, that's, you know, first and foremost, before we get into the history of the Hurricane cocktail, as far as what it is nowadays, and that's changed quite a bit over the years, we'll get into that. But the current recipe, if you go into like a bar that mixes them fresh, what you're going to get is some lime juice, some light and dark rum, passion fruit juice or puree, definitely a passion fruit note, orange juice, simple syrup, some grenadine. And you're just going to be serving that big hurricane glass, usually over a bunch of crushed ice, orange slice, maraschino garnish, big, beautiful, bright red drink. That's what you're going to get nowadays. There's also mixes, but the mix still kind of, those are the flavors that they're going for these days.
Yeah, but the mixes are never as good.
No, they aren't as good, but it's at least like, it's going to be fruity, it's going to be red. You're meant to add rum.
Yeah, if you're a tourist in New Orleans, you will drink those anyway, fresh or out of the bottle.
Sometimes out of a plastic cup if you get a traveler.
It must be plastic to be a traveler. They do not allow you to carry glass drinks on the sidewalk, but you can carry a plastic one.
That was actually maybe the one time I only had one hurricane ever in New Orleans, and that I had it as a traveler. There's a really violent murder museum down there that my friends and I all went to one day. We were kind of hungover from the night before drinking, and it just disturbed everybody. So everybody else went back to the hotel room to like sleep off the museum.
The museum and hangover.
Yeah, so I went to a bar and it started. Well, I was like going to do some shopping and then it started raining, so I ducked into a bar and that bar happened to have hurricanes in like a frozen machine. So I waited out the storm with a hurricane.
That sounds like a setup to a Jimmy Buffett song.
You're right. Yeah, just a little and then once it cleared out, I took my little, because they served it to me in a solo cup. It was, you know, the tourist area, everything comes in a solo cup.
But the skies turned overcast, so I ducked into a bar and drowned my sorrows in a hurricane glass.
Oh, that's good. And he said, spent my morning in the murder museum.
Like every hungover individual does.
Yes. Okay. Jimmy, I know you're listening. Hit us up. We can collab.
Yeah, if you want to use it, you know, it's okay. We'll let you. We consider you family.
Yeah. But all right. So, you know, for the get back to the hurricane. The history is a little bit it's a little all over the place, like a lot of these things. There's kind of no clear storyline I could get from that. So we're just going to kind of go through the facts, and you're going to see the ways they sort of line up and disconnect. But the earliest known mention of the hurricane dates back to the 1939 World's Fair in New York, mm-hmm. in Queens. So already going off the rails here, because we're not in New Orleans. but it was served at the Hurricane Bar, and there's no distinct recipe that was associated with it. We know it was in the press listings, it was available, but we didn't know what was in it. And I think if we've learned one thing from this podcast, that doesn't mean this is the origin of that drink, because you know what else was also served at the 1939 World's Fair?
Yeah, there was something else that we've gone over.
The zombie.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah.
And we knew from the history of the zombie that the zombie was already a popular drink on Don Beach's menu, but mm-hmm. then someone encountered it and just served it at the World's Fair with the name. So
right.
The hurricane could have existed elsewhere before this. This apparently was the cocktail stealing World's Fair.
Well, yeah. Well, most likely it did exist somewhere else because it had been mentioned before that. But the other thing about it is, nobody ever wrote down what was in the one that they served at the New York's World Fair.
Yeah.
They just served a hurricane and they said, what was in that? I don't know.
Well, and this is also interesting. So the one at the World's Fair was definitely in a tall glass, not a hurricane glass,
mm-hmm.
which is maybe the initial confusion, because a lot of people think that the glass that you now see a hurricane in is called a hurricane glass. It's not named after the drink. It's named after a hurricane lamp, which is an old sort of oil lamp. You know that shape, that sort of curved in, curved out shape.
Now, I was so surprised to learn that. Yeah, that it was. Yeah. It looked like the lamp body, that the glass was shaped like that. So that's why they called it a hurricane. I couldn't believe that.
Well, so yeah, so the lamp came first, then the glass came.
Mm-hmm.
But while the glass already existed, the drink was being served in a Collins glass or a tall, skinny glass.
Right.
So this is, you know, we're still pre New Orleans here, but mm-hmm. with the World's Fair and then its other significant appearance in 1939, which was in a movie,
mm-hmm.
Naughty But Nice. So 1939, there's this musical comedy that hits theaters, and it's a story of a straight-laced professor of classical music. He sort of gets wooed by the world of swing music and jazz at the time, and this is with the aid of a lot of hurricane cocktails. So the professor doesn't drink, but he likes lemonade. People keep serving him hurricanes in place of his lemonade, and he gets drunk and then, I don't know, writes swing music and something.
Yeah, the whole
valuable lesson.
The whole plot of this movie is basically this professor getting roofied several times.
Kind of, by modern standards, it's deeply messed up. I mean, by then standards, it was messed up, but nowadays we will call it what it is.
But the other thing is, it kind of misleads you about a hurricane too, because it said he really liked lemonade, so they served him the hurricane because it looked like lemonade. And they described it.
It tasted like it.
Yeah, well, they served it. Well, it was just basically it was lemonade and rum, basically in the movie, the way they described it, which isn't anything like what a hurricane is.
Well, they say 6 ounces of rum is the base of the drink.
Yeah. and 2 ounces of lemonade.
Yeah. But this is, in the movie they refer to it as a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So the name is out there as a cocktail, as Dad said, probably didn't look like what we now associate with a hurricane. The following year, 1940, we finally get our proper sort of New Orleans origin story, and that takes place at a bar called Pat O'Brien's, which is located in the French Quarter of New Orleans. O'Brien's was founded by the namesake proprietor, Pat O'Brien, himself, and he opened it in 1933 as a speakeasy. So we're doing during Prohibition. This is perhaps foreshadowing, but supposedly the password to enter his speakeasy was "A storm's a brewing."
A storm's a brewing, mate.
So this is why this is all kind of funky, because this is before the hurricane cocktail was made here, but we do have this little a storm's a brewing. That plays into the myth. But keeping with the theme, they weathered Prohibition and they eventually kind of relocated to a better location a few blocks away. Then the next driving force in the creation of their version of the hurricane was the World War I and World War II. We're really kind of banked by it here. The supply limitations that were imposed by the war, you know, we've talked about all the distilleries turned over to producing war rations, gas, you know, what have you. So the amount of available whiskey in America was limited. And at the time, most popular cocktails were made with whiskey. So the distributors, liquor distributors that had all this influx of rum coming in from, you know, the Caribbean, all around the world, up against this, you know, lack of whiskey, would make these deals with bars where I will give you a case of whiskey if you buy 30 cases of rum from me. Mm-hmm. And knowing how much people were desperate for whiskey at the time, the bars would make this deal. And Pat O'Brien's was one of the bars that made this deal and took on a ton of rum.
And so they had
to find something to do with it.
Yeah. So why not mix two of them, white and dark, in their into a drink just to get rid of them? I got to do something with it. I got to buy it to get to the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, and put as much of it in a drink as you want, because it's, you know, we've just got to go through it.
Yeah.
So, and this is, you know, we have like the obviously Pat O'Brien's still involved in this. The bar manager at the time, or the head bartender, was Louise Culligan, who would be the first person to actually give us a recorded recipe. But they began creating at Pat O'Brien's, try to find a drink that would be really rum forward, easy to drink, sell a lot of them. And they kept it very simple. It was just in origin, like 4 ounces of rum, some sort of lemon juice, and passion fruit juice, maybe. Maybe passion fruit juice, which we'll get into. Now, an interesting thing about this version of the drink is that the granddaughter of the original Pat O'Brien has gone on record saying that the namesake of the glass or the drink was the glassware, so the hurricane glass is why they decided to call this the hurricane. But we already have a hurricane on record in the books, so it's in a different glassware, but it's a cocktail known as the hurricane. So that's kind of interesting. The other thing is about that, like, passion fruit maybe. So there are some records that said it was made with something called fashionola syrup, which is, this is the first time I've ever heard of this.
Nola, New Orleans. So I don't know.
But no. So fashionola syrup, which is, you know, this very simple recipe of just lemon juice, passion fruit, and rum, where the passion fruit was maybe instead this fashionola. It's kind of an eccentric in cocktail ingredient made from the ideas. It's passion fruit forward, but it also has guava, orange, cherry, pineapple, sometimes coconut, and hibiscus flowers, which would have given it a bright red color. Also, sometimes Smucker's jam. Confusing ingredient. And also interesting is that even though we don't know quite when fashionola was created, it's often attributed to that Don Beach, who created the zombie, and was something that he was using decades before this, in like the, you know, 1920s, he was using fashionola. So it's hard to say what the origin point is, or if this could have predated the passion fruit, but in any case, that is first recipe that we get written down, is that very simple one with maybe fashionola, maybe passion fruit.
Well, the other thing that confuses me too about the origin of the drink and where it came from is that in that Pat O'Brien's, they also had other weather-related themed drinks like the Cyclone, the Rainbow, and the Rainstorm. So, you know, what the hurricane to me would just be a natural progression off of those, let alone the glassware or the New York's World's Fair or anything else. You know, that sounds like a drink they would have had there already.
Well, and I don't think it's wild to believe that a cool name for a drink could just, you know, sometimes you just hear like, oh, there's a drink called this. I don't know what's in it. And then at some point you're like, that's a good name. I'm going to name this drink that. So they could have coexisted. I mean, It's hard to say because all of these ideas are around the same time period.
Right. Yeah. Like Vukare. That's a cool name. Whoever said that, you know, that was a cool name. I like that. Vukare. Now that I know what it is, the first time I read it, I didn't know what it was, but now I do.
Even the idea, those two points of like origins of the World's Fair in the movie was in production before the World's Fair, which is also interesting. Like, it started in 1938, production on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The World's Fair was later that year. So the concept of a cocktail called a hurricane existed in the script of that movie before it had never been seen being consumed or recorded being consumed.
Yeah. And it makes me wonder, the one in New York, what did it look like and what did it have in it? I mean, did it look like lemonade like they describe in the movie?
Well, and then the movie, which was supposedly taking place in New York, but filmed on the West Coast. So, yeah, they're also probably basing it off their drinking at the time.
Yeah, yes.
but in any case, as the drink became very popular, this original very simple recipe, as it became popular, and, you know, as they wanted to be able to mass produce it, they started leaning towards other, like, more shelf-stable ingredients. You don't want to be juicing endless passion fruits every day. You want to find a way to sort of fortify it. And at this point is where we get this more modern recipe that we still see today.
The extended recipe, if you will.
Yeah. And people that, because, you know, we still have people alive that would have had the original one and then had the follow-up, you know, we're like, well, the batch recipe is a lot sweeter and it's a lot redder. So that original one that just had passion fruit maybe could have looked like lemonade, all told. Passion fruit's kind of yellow. It's not, you think it's pink or red, and it's yellow.
And this drink is so big and so good to make, I guess, or something. It has to have two garnishes with it, even.
Yeah, yeah. You get a pineapple and cherry.
Yeah. Or an orange slice, even, sometimes.
Yeah.
So they fruit it up.
I think it is orange and cherry. I'm wrong. You're right.
Yeah.
But, so there you go. So that's some history on the hurricane. Now, obviously, popular go-to to order in New Orleans. You can find them frozen. You can find them prepackaged, ready to go mixes. But also, you can still make it fresh. You know, it can be made shaken over crushed ice. Definitely something you should look up.
Well, I think that it's a great drink. You know, it'd be one that would really be good too. A frozen one of those, I think, if you made one. You know, of course, they don't make the original that way, but I think that would be good if you made one just a little bit slushy.
I've had them frozen before. They're good frozen.
Yeah. But this is a good example of necessity is the mother of invention. So those guys had to buy all that rum to get to the whiskey and the scotch and all that. So they said, what can we do with this rum? And they put it to good use, invented a classic. You can't go down like on Bourbon Street and not get a hurricane. Somebody's going to come out and stick one in your hand. I know that we got one of those horse-drawn carriage rides when Mom and me and Riley went down there several years back. And they would stop at bars along the way, and the driver of the carriage, he would go in and get drinks for everybody. Yeah. I mean, you paid for him. He picked him up. You paid for him, you know. But he stopped in at what was supposed to be the place that had made the hurricane the longest, the original hurricane, supposedly. So he went in and brought them out to us. But they were good. I don't know how they made them, but they were good.
Well, and they are good, and they definitely nowadays fall into the tiki sort of family of drinks. I do think it's interesting that much like the Singapore Sling, we do have a separate origin story probably for this one. Like, they didn't necessarily pop up first on those, like, same time period Don Beach, you know, like, tiki menus. Although it's hard to say just because of how many touch points we have to Beach in this storyline, and that he grew up in New Orleans as well. Mm-hmm. He was the first one to make fashionola syrup. Maybe this could have been one of his drinks, or somebody had something at his bar and taken it back and thought about it. So it's hard to say exact, but it is definitely has separate origin points from the rest of the tiki drinks, even if they aren't maybe the whole story.
Well, and this one did get thrown in as a tiki drink during that whole tiki movement, as the hurricane was made over there as a tiki drink, and it really wasn't part of that movement, but it got included.
Well, and that, so you know, it's part of it, but yeah, it's a whole, it's got its whole separate, questionably true history.
Yeah, well, it all just happened at the same time in several different places, so it's hard to figure that out, which leads me to believe it was around for a long time before any of that finally got put down in print or film.
I think that's believable. I think that's absolutely true. But in any case, you know, now it's a classic. It's something you should check out. I guess a couple different ways you can make it. We've kind of got the modern recipe, which, you know, it's the, like, that's the long form. It's got grenadine, and it's got orange juice, it's got a bunch of stuff. And then there's also that classic one, which I actually think, having now learned about this fascino syrup, whatever the hell that is, I would love to make a simple sour build with just that lemon and rum and see how that comes out.
Even though there's no alcohol in it, I think I'm going to look, see if somewhere like Blackwell's has that you can order, because I don't think I've ever seen that in a liquor store anywhere.
No. I when I was looking, doing some research, there are bottles that are new, like new fancy small production companies that are making it, but it's definitely not anything that I've heard about in the past. So,
well, they did say that once they started producing it, demand far exceeded their capacity, and they had to like double and triple it right off the bat because it was being requested so much. I guess it's a good substitute for having to add all those things in individually.
Yeah. Well, and that is what goes. It's funny because the recipe that we talk about with the new hurricane has similar flavor notes that would reduce into that same syrup. So maybe that makes sense why it's why they both are kind of the same drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So we will we'll be making some of these classic and new, not really new, but newer. Recipe for the hurricane at some point over on our videos.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why Jimmy Buffett said it's hard to reason with hurricane season. You think that's what he was talking about?
You think that's the drink?
I guess. I think he's talking about the drink. It's hard to reason with that. Once you've had enough of those, there is no reason.
It's hurricane season when you just drink hurricanes until you don't have to worry about hurricanes anymore.
There you go. When it doesn't matter. Mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter.
There you go. Hurricanes and all. If you want to listen to our previous episodes that are all this whole string of topics we've been finding. I don't think we found our next topic in this, but that's all right. We'll still be back next week.
Yeah, we'll find something, huh? Well, it had to run out eventually. Otherwise, we're going to live in New Orleans from now on, I think.
Well, I was thinking about some things, like, oh, other drinks to make have passion fruit is prominent. I was like, well, okay. At some point, we got to start a new thread. But
yeah,
check out our back episodes. If you want to find us on socials, we are NeatBoozeCast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to email us, you can email us at NeatTheBoozeCast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, if you want to support us, if you want to check out our videos, they are now Patreon exclusives. You can join our Patreon for just $1 a month. You get all of our videos. For higher levels, you get stickers, you get coasters, you get all sorts of fun stuff. So check that out. And if you want to talk about your hurricane stories, however you feel about that, you can do that
at Neat the Booze Cast Facebook group. I was going to say Neat the Face Cast Booze group.
Gas booze group. Sounds like something from Welcome to Night Vale.
Well, I started thinking about it when you were saying the coasters. And I started thinking about it. I was thinking, I wonder if everybody knows how neat those coasters are. First of all, they're original designs by you. And then all these drinks we talk about, there's a recipe on there. So, you know, it's a quick reference. Sure, you could go to the video, but also that's a quick reference to have the coasters there. They're stylish on your coffee table. And then you can see how to mix the drinks or on your bar. And then you mix the drinks. So, you know, if you're not getting those, then you need to sign up and get those just because they're worth having.
That sounds cool to you. Check that out. Yeah. Right. Well, hey, Dad, thanks for being here.
Well, hey, Tay, thanks for having me. I'm glad the hurricane didn't blow us out to sea.
Hey, I've been Taylor Sprout.
I've been Tommy Smurl.
This has been
me. Well, there you go. Our thread ended, but that's okay. I really did start thinking about those coasters, and then it threw me off there on my train of thought. I couldn't get Neat the Booze Cast out.